Welcome to our Sunday evening service, and hopefully you've had a good afternoon. And I went home this afternoon after the message this morning, and I held Kim's hand when we walked in the door. I gave her a hug when I got in. I walked back in the bedroom, got a pillow. I smacked her upside the head with a pillow. And then when I walked back out the door, I got a good punch in the face. So it didn't quite work like he said it would work.
And then she burned your biscuits.
And then she burned lunch. So, no. It was quite interesting. We had a good talk as we walked this afternoon about it, and God's good, and definitely important. I was going to say turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Y'all would have died if I had said that, wouldn't you? But no, I'll leave that one alone, and turn to Romans chapter 5, if you would. Romans chapter 5, and I guess I'll let you sit as we... Romans chapter 5, we'll read a few of the verses later. I'll read my text, verses chapter 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, and Lord, we thank you that we can fellowship one with another. We can, Lord, have some laughter. We can, Lord, commune one with another, and Lord, have a kindred spirit. And I just pray tonight that you would be with us and help us as we go through this coming week with much to go through, much to pray about. And Lord, we're seeking your mighty hand through some of the valleys that folks are going through. So I pray that, Lord, you would encourage us tonight in your word. We thank you for it. And God, I just pray that you'd use me to speak unto your people, to help encourage them through the week. And Lord, give them something that they can use in their life. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray tonight, thanking him for all. Amen. This time of the year is synonymous with March Madness. And we all get those of us that have any sports knowledge and anything in us that we played ball or something. It's been part of our lives or something like that. I know the pastor, you know, it's spring training too, if you didn't know. And the Reds are, we've got high hopes for them this year, and doesn't look like the Chicago area is going to do too well this year. But regardless of that, it's college basketball time too. And a term has been generated over the recent years that revolves around schools and coaches who recruit exceptionally good players. And in doing so, the expectation is that player is going to be with them 1 year, and then they're going to go professional after that, and they're not going to spend any time there. The terminology that has been coined is one and done, and I think you'll get my message as we go through here and see this. There's going to be a lot of ones that are in the portions of Scripture that we'll read here in a few minutes. But everyone has an opinion about the process, and some are for and against, and personally, I don't like it. I'm one that I've always been partial to longevity, loyalty, and dedication and growth from youth to a young adult, because I think it gives young men the opportunity to grow into some adulthood there and see some things. I think wisdom, there's some wisdom to be gained through some of that. But that's my opinion, and regardless, I know that there's a lot of folks that think that way, and there's a lot that think the other way. But as we read our scripture tonight in Romans, we see that man originally had one chance, and he messed it up. man had one chance and to keep things right. And Adam and Eve had the best of God's creation, and they fell short. And it was through one man's sin that a death sentence was upon all of his descendants. We're all descendants of that one man's sin tonight. And it was the one man, Christ, who brought life to all of his descendants. Thank God for that tonight. It was him. It was in the person of Jesus Christ tonight, who believe God's word and are born of God, that we're able to say that we have forgiveness of sins tonight. And thank the Lord for that. So as we look at that, and we look down in verse 13, it says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense one judgment came unto all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Man, that's some good reading right there. And that's something that we need to be reminded of all the time, and where we are standing in the Lord Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for us. And thank God for that one man, Christ Jesus, tonight. But some of the things that I want to bring out here and say are practical in nature. But we have but one life to live tonight. You've only got one life to live, and what you do with that life and what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ is eternally important. There's eternal consequences to what you do with that one life. And just as in the postseason tournament, you lose, you're out. You know, those guys, they play a game, and those that have lost, when that tournament started, they're out. Their season is done. They're finished. They're going to go home. They're going to pack their bags and say, you know, it was a good year. We done this and done that, but we're not going to be the champions. The same can be said for the unsaved tonight. That one that doesn't trust the Lord as a Savior. They miss the opportunity to put their faith and trust in Christ. You lose. You're out, and there is no other chance. God takes you and snuffs your life up out of here tonight. You had the opportunity to do that, but God is not going to want you give up this life. God's not going to give you that next opportunity. Every man is a sinner in God's sight, under sentence of death and eternal death, yet God, the only really righteous judge tonight, can set free any sinner without breaking his holy law or endangering others. There is no righteousness in you tonight, in any of us tonight, but the Lord God can shed his righteousness on us and impute his righteousness in us. And thank God for that tonight. Thank God that we have this life that we can live, this one life, and we put our faith and trust in Him. So I ask you tonight, what are you preparing for? What's going on with you? You heard the messages over the past couple weeks as we come upon this coming week and the resurrection of our Savior. What are you making your preparations for? The guys that are playing in the games and stuff, and just as a game for the good team, I think that they're won in the offseason. I think you win your games as a Christian. You come to church to get fed, that's for sure, to get energized. But I think you win in the Christian life by what you do at home. I think when you're at home, when you're in your arena and the things that you're doing there, in your prayer life, in your Bible reading, in the things, your meditation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where the games are won. I think that's where we win. I think that's where you overcome the things that are of this world. I get encouraged by you as Christians and fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I get more encouraged by God and God's faithfulness when I read His Word, when I pray, when I meditate, when I see what God has done, then I can take that and use it in the fight that we've got that's out there. Ephesians chapter 5, we know in 6, it talks about the fight and the things and the things that we're supposed to prepare ourselves for, the warfare that we're going to face, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, our feet shod with the gospel of peace, having the sword and taking that and being able to use that. You win the game of life and the things that are out there by doing the things that you're supposed to do at home. You're going to practice what you preach if you preach it at home and do, and practice it at home. And many times we don't do it at home. The Bible says that there's one God and the Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. One God tonight. We serve one God tonight. I serve the same God that you do if you believe in the God of this Bible tonight. And just like going down a one-way street, going the wrong way is going to cause serious issues and it's going to be disastrous for you as a Christian or somebody that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior. The same conditions exist to enter the portals of glory. The Bible is very clear in John 14:6. It says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is only one way tonight. You have one life to live. Whether you're in this building, whether you're listening via audio or whatever, you only have one life and there is only one way to heaven tonight, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through one man tonight. If you're not in Christ, when you take your last breath, guess what? You're one and done. You've only got one life. You're going to be out. There are no redos. There's no. I used to like to do best 2 out of 3. I'd lose the first game. I'd try to win the second game. Most of the time I lost the second game too. But there's no redos in this life. And I hate to look back and see, and you say, well, you're not supposed to have regrets. Well, I've got some regrets. I'm a normal person. I live in the flesh. There's things that I wish that I had done and done a little bit different. But there's one regret that I'm not going to have, and that one regret that I'm not going to have is that I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I took the opportunity to accept His free gift of salvation. That's one regret that I wouldn't want to have. You've got one life to live. If you're saved tonight, if you're unsaved or saved, you have but one testimony. You've only got one testimony. You got one opportunity to get this thing right. And it's very difficult sometimes to get it right. We find it hard to have proof in our life provided by that testimony, have proof in our life that's provided by the existence or the appearance of something in our life, that we have a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. People can see Christ in me. People can see Christ in you as a believer, declaring that I know the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do they see your good works tonight? Do they see your testimony of love to the Lord and what you do for Him, what you do for others, what you do for your family, what you do for those that are of the household of faith, those that need you? Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. By the word of their testimony. The testimony that they left. We should realize as Christians, our testimony for the Lord is all we have to take with us. You're not going to take the things that are out here with you. I'm not going to take the cars I've got in my garage. I'm not going to take the things that I've accumulated over this life. But what I'm going to take is a testimony in the works that I've done for the Lord that have been pleasing unto the Lord. That's what I get to take. That's what I get to leave for those that are behind. That's what I get to leave for my kids and my grandkids and those that are here. Those that have been my friends, my testimony. I want my testimony to be, and I could care less that I'm laid out in a casket or whatever, but when they say that they knew Mike Flynn, they knew that Mike loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And he loved those that were around him. He had a love for people. He had a love for the Lord. He had a love for the things that were of the Lord. And that should be our testimony. And we have our testimony before God. I want God to see that my testimony is that I love Him. That I don't love the things that are of the world. That I don't set my affections on things that are of the world. I've set my affection on things that are of the Lord. I want my testimony before my family to be the same way. I want them to see my family to know that I love the Lord. I want them to see me with my Bible. I want them to know that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Kim knows that I'm not ashamed of it. Andrew knows that I'm not ashamed of it. Lily knows that I'm not ashamed of it. Those that have been around, they know that I love my Bible. My Bible goes with me everywhere. God goes with me everywhere. And that doesn't make me any better than you, but you start to love the Word, you want it with you all the time. You want God's Word with you. This is more important to me than packing a gun on my side. I mean, I'm not against gun. I like a good gun and all. I was just talking to Robert about a gun earlier. But I would rather have this as my weapon than have anything that man can offer for me for protection. This is my protection tonight. This is what's going to save me when it comes time when the Lord returns. It's not going to be anything that's man-made or the things that are around. I want God's Word with me. I want God's Word with my family. I want my grandkids to see that I love my Bible. Those kids will pick that up and they will take that and moving on. That'll be a testimony that I've left for them. That's the kind of testimony that I want to leave. They'll know that I love a car. They'll see the pictures of some of the other things. They'll know that I love ball. I love all those. I enjoy those things. God has given me the opportunity to have pleasure in them. But I ought to love that Bible more than I love any of those other things. Young people, I want to talk to you for a minute. You've only got one chance at abstinence. One chance. Don't mess it up. Be pure. Be pure. Do what the Bible tells you to do, and you hold yourself until marriage. You do what God has told you to do from that word. You be good to your parents tonight. The Bible, I think it still says, children, obey your parents. You only got one chance to be good to your parents. One chance. Now, you're gonna do some things, but I'm saying being good to them overall. You've got one chance to make it right. You've got one childhood to live. Be good to your parents. Do the things that keep you pure at a young age, and you don't have to look back on it later in life and have regrets about what you did. Alcohol. You've got one chance not to put your lips to the bottle. And to take that first drink of alcohol and say you've never done it. One chance. Don't mess that one chance up in your life and do that which you know that you're not supposed to do. One chance, because you'll be a one and done. And you might be the one that it takes to the next level and be in a place that you don't want to be in. That alcoholic that took that first drink, he never thought that he would be where he is at, but he took the one drink and he's where he's at tonight, or she's where she's at tonight. One and done. Drugs, you've only got one chance not to do it. One chance. You mess up and do it, you've done it. And that mark is with you. You've got that scar for the rest of your life. You can heal, wounds heal. Yeah, we cut ourselves. I remember right here, I've got a mark on my thumb. Me and my cousin were up shooting fireworks up in Batesville. And my mom told me, and I didn't listen, I didn't obey my mom. She said, don't run with that knife in your hand open with an open blade. Well, guess what? Me and him was shooting M80s, and I'd cut the tape off the end of the fuse, and I threw the M80, and we were throwing them at one another like two dummies. But anyway, I took off of running, and I had an open-bladed knife in my hand, cut right through the nerves and stuff right there, and got a scar as a reminder that I didn't, number one, I didn't obey my parents, and number two, it was stupid to run with an open-bladed knife in your hand. But it will leave a scar. When you do the things, there will always be a reminder and a scar there that you that will show you of the wrong that's there. Now, he talked about husbands and wives this morning, and he focused on the husbands. But I'm just going to say for both of us, you only have one chance in your marriage to stay faithful. You mess that up with your wife or your husband and not being faithful to her, it's over. You can't go back and undo it. It's a sin that's there. It's something that you've done that you can't erase. It doesn't come off. You can take it. It's not like a chalkboard and you can wipe it off. It's in the book. And, you know, we see Joseph. In the Joseph and David are probably the two best examples in the Bible of that. They both were had the same situation posed to them. Joseph, what did Joseph do? He took off and run. He run the other way from it. He's a type of Christ in the Bible. We know that, but he took off and run. What did David do? He succumbed to the pressure that was there, and he allowed his own desire and his own lust and his self-righteousness take him down. And he was scarred for the rest of his life. It was always there. And that's something we don't want on our resume moving forward. That's something that you don't want to have there. You should love your wife. You should love your husband. And you should be loyal to them in that and showing them that you do love them. That's why we're supposed to guard our heart. Hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. Because when you do that, you've sinned against the holy God as well. You have broke His commandments. Not only have you sinned and damaged that one that you're with, you have sinned against the God of this universe as well. The Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Man, it's quiet in here. And but what I'm trying to get you to see tonight is you only have one testimony. And that testimony is something that we can pass on to those that are rare. Adam's testimony is a perfect example tonight because this is how the world views it, okay? While he is the earthly father of all civilization and was the first human of God's creation, what is he most known for? What do people in the crowd? It's the fall of man. He's known for his sin. I'm sure in the 930 years that Adam lived, he did some good things. I would hope he did. He had plenty of time to. We've got 70 or 80 years of time to do some stuff. He had 930 years to do it. But he's known for that one thing. And I've said it. I said it to my Sunday school class. I guarantee you, Carol knows what I'm going to say. Is that you can do 99 good things and you do one wrong thing. Man focuses on the one wrong thing that you've done. And you've ruined your testimony. Don't think that they're going to focus on those 99 good things that you've done. People love to pick on people. They love to pick out the fly specks in the ointment, and they want to focus on your sin. They want to focus on that. They like that. That gives them something to talk about. That gives them something to say that they're not so bad. So your testimony is very important. Look at Samson's testimony with Delilah. Samson did a lot of good things, but he messed up with Delilah as well. And he's remembered. That's what he's known for in the Bible. That's what they make the movies about. That's what Hollywood focuses on. Go watch a movie about Samson and see what the focus is in the movie. It's on the sin. It's not on the things that he did that was good for the Lord and all the things that's brought out there in the book of Judges that you can read about. It's focused on the sin. And it only takes one, and the wrong one. Your testimony not only impacts you, it impacts your family and those around you as well. What I do is going to be passed down. It's reflective of her. It's reflective of my parents. It's reflective of my kids, my grandkids, all those that are around me. It follows me where I go. I would say tonight you have one testimony, and I would guard that testimony. But we serve a God of second chances. Thank the Lord for that tonight. While we may have but one life and one testimony, thank the Lord, we serve a God of second chances. The grace of God in salvation is that Jesus Christ died for more than Adam's one sin. Jesus Christ, he paid every offense committed by every man when he hung on that cross. Only one team is going to win that tournament this year. But guess what? Those that are eligible and want to can return next year, and they got a chance at it again. I like somebody that wants to come back and try it again and make better than they did before. They don't have to be the proverbial one and done. And you're going to mess up tonight. I mess up. I mess up every day. The thought, it doesn't have to be of a cataclysmic nature. It doesn't have to be disastrous when we mess up. If we confess our sin, the Bible said he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In salvation, your spirit is being saved daily from the power of sin in your life. When you're saved and you're asking God, your spirit is being saved daily. We have to ask God to help us on a daily basis and give us another chance in some of those areas that we fail in, because we're definitely not perfect. Rahab is a good example of second chances in the Bible. While she may have lived the life of a harlot, and the Bible calls her a harlot there, and she had a chance to do the right thing, and she took advantage of the opportunity. She took advantage no matter what they said. She was going to save her life and the life of her family. And I would encourage every one of us tonight, we have the chance to do those things. We may not have lived the perfect life. You may have already done some of those things that are out there. But you've got a chance to make things right and have a testimony before God that would be pleasing unto him. The Apostle Paul, he wasn't the Apostle Paul in the beginning. God gave him a chance. He had another chance. God had a plan for him. God's got a plan for you and I. David, same way. He messed up, but God had a plan, and he got another chance. It cost him. It cost all of us. Sin will cost you. The wages of sin is what? Death. So don't think that God's not going to punish. We serve a holy God tonight. And he's a righteous judge. And he will make us pay for the sin that's there. In the Old Testament, we have the Lord's command for the cleansing of the leper. And this is something that I read in the last month or so that I thought was very good. And I'll end with this. It's a picture of our salvation in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that two birds were taken. The one was killed, and the other was dipped in the blood of the slain bird and released. And this was for the cleansing of the leper. And you remember when the leper come in, they had to say that they were unclean, unclean. And then, you know, if they were unclean, then the priest determined that they needed to go into 7 days, basically 7 days holding until they figured out what was going on there, and they come back and revisit the situation. But as that living bird rose into the air with his wings and body splattered with blood, it would look to the leper if the slain bird were raised from the dead. It was a picture of what Christ would do one day for all of us who are sinners. He was crucified for our sins once, raised from the dead once, and ascended to heaven once, showing us the work of salvation was completed in this one act of saving, of his saving grace being finished. The greatest words that I think that he spoke while he was on the cross was, "It is finished. It's done. Christ did it once and for all. I don't have to worry about going back. Just like my salvation, I don't have to worry about going back and asking God to save me again, because I know that he saved me the first time. He doesn't have to do it twice. When God saves you, he saves you. And there's no need to go back to the well again. I don't have to go back to the well again to see if God's going to save me for the second time. He did the work. All I have to do is trust in the work. So I encourage you tonight, don't grow weary in well-doing. You may have been a one and done, but God will give you a second chance. Don't faint in the day of adversity, because it's going to get tough as we continue to go on. The times are tough for all of us. The economy is not going to get any better. It doesn't matter if Trump is president, Biden's president, or who else they can put up there is going to be president. The adverse times are going to continue to come until our Lord comes and takes us out of here. Take advantage of the endless mercies and grace that God can shed abroad upon you. Don't be a one and done tonight. Stick to the game. Stick to the things that you know. Stick to the Bible. Stay in church. And stay around those that will encourage you in the faith, and you will grow. I promise you, based upon the authority of God's word tonight, as we stand to our feet.